Hey guys, it's Jacob here. Welcome to the Tripod, where we break down the NFL every single week, give you our best bets and reasoning behind it. And we're on a little bit of a tough spell at the moment. I went 4-5 last week, and I think we won all the early games, and then it kind of fell apart. And that's a second losing week in a row. We had a nightmare in week 8. So we've dropped back to 58% winners for the season, which, you know, if you could have told me at the midway point, we'd be 58%, we'd absolutely take it. But as we kind of warned you guys, we were flying above 70% for the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. And we've come back down to earth, and you never want to have bad weeks. But the reality, I'm not even going to say we've been unlucky. Maybe if you go back and look at our earlier weeks, maybe we were on the right side of a few lucky, you know, close call wins. And in the long run, honestly, if we can go over 55%, we can make money betting on a sport we love, then we're going to be happy with that, and we'll always do our best. And on that note as well, we haven't won a multi since week 6. So that means we didn't win in week 7, 8, or 9. And obviously it's less likely we're going to win in rounds where we're not on the money with the majority of the picks. But overall, I can say the multis are only up 64 units. So for $50 per multi, that's 3,228. And I know people are getting a bit frustrated because, as I said, there's been a few multis. We give out a couple for each week with numerous games, and then we give out a same game multi in most of the primetime games. But I just think people need to understand, like, you're going to have a multi, I guess, to have fun. If you don't like losing, don't bet multis, because when you're betting multis that are paying 10, 20, 30 to 1, most likely outcome is you're going to lose. And even in our most confident week, I'm never going to really be able to sit here and say, I really think the multi's going to win this week. So of course, if we're winning, you know, 10, 20, 30 times our money, as we have a few times this season, then we're going to be overall in profit. But if we're expecting that, you know, we've had a bad weekend on the punt, and then the Monday or Tuesday multi is going to be our kind of our savior to win it all back, and we're going to be really disappointed when we lose, then you're probably in the wrong game, because we are giving you profitable tips. And if people aren't profiting off this, you really need to be a bit more disciplined with your money management and just put a bit less where it's not hurting you to lose a multi. Because no matter how good our tips are, we still need a bit of luck, certainly when we've got numerous games or same gamer with multiple legs. So I just want to say that we're actually really happy with how our multis have gone. But I understand this frustration when it seems like there's a few weeks in a row where we don't hit. That is punting for you. Let's jump straight into week 10. And the first game we've got best bets on. We've got 3 best bets on this game. Texans at the Browns. And the Browns are a 3.5-point favorite. The total is 46. That total is dropping because of bad weather. But let me read you the best bets and I'll tell you why we like this one. We're taking the Browns minus 2.5 points in the first half at $1.90 on Bet365. I think it's also $1.89 on Sportsbet. Taking the Browns minus a flat $3.84 on Unibet. And taking the Texans team total under 21.5, also on Unibet, $1.83. So as I said, weather conditions, possible rain, definitely some wind. This is an outdoor stadium in Cleveland. The Texans are from much nicer weather and play indoor in a dome. So they're not going to be used to this kind of conditions, whereas the Browns are off the bye, but last time they played was in awful conditions at this very ground when they lost 16-6 to the Raiders. But I think that's invaluable experience. When you do play in weather conditions like that, it's very conducive to running the football, which is the Browns' biggest strength. And they've had Kareem Hunt's been doing well recently, but now they bring back the 1-2 punch with the blue chip running back Nick Chubb as well into the mix. So they should be able to run the ball strongly here. The Texans don't really want to run the ball. David Johnson is out. They like to throw the ball with Deshaun Watson. That's going to be very difficult to do here. So I feel like you've got condition edge massively in the favor of the Browns, and it's also going to mean that defense is going to have their way a little bit. Myles Garrett back into the mix for the Browns. Baker Mayfield should still be a little bit better. He was dealing with a chest injury for the last few weeks, but as I mentioned, the Browns are off the bye. I just think this is a huge match for them as well. They're going to come in with full focus, being at home and still being in the playoff hunt, whereas the Texans have literally won 2 games this year, both against the Jags, and they know their season is kind of already lost. So even if the weather doesn't end up playing a massive part, I think the Browns are the better team and should be too good anyway. That's why those compounding effects really makes me feel good about these 3 best bets. Next game, we've got NFC East matchup, Eagles-Giants, and the NFC East, maybe first team to 6 wins, is going to take that division. It's an absolute shambles, of course. These two share it with the Washington football team and Dallas, and they've all had pretty diabolical seasons. But Philly is in control, despite having a losing record, and They got a win last time they played the Giants. This is a rematch. I should say the Giants are at home. They're a 3.5 point underdog, and the total is 44.5. And I'm going to take Eagles team total over 23.5 at $1.83 on Unibet. So if we go back to that first matchup, actually the Giants had it won. And Evan Engram drops a pretty catchable third down catch that would have iced the game. That allows Philly the chance to drive, and they drive for a comeback victory. And that kind of summed up the Giants' season. They've lost a few close ones this year. And the thing about Philly is they're off the bye. They get back Miles Sanders in this one, maybe Lane Johnson. They're the healthiest they've been. And as I said before, the state of this division, all they have to do is focus on winning these division games, nothing else. And they're going to be hosting a playoff game in week one of the playoffs. So I think we're getting a healthy Eagles team in a great spot with their full attention here. And the Giants, we've seen them be frisky at times. But even last week when they did beat the Washington, they needed 5 turnovers to do it. They're not a great team. Joe Judge might have something, might be building something, and occasionally they look all right on offense, but Danny Dimes is so turnover prone as well, and that could help us with our overs here. So I like the Eagles team total over. Next game I'm going to talk about, although we don't have a best bet, but it's just a really exciting matchup. It's the Chargers at the Dolphins. Dolphins are a slight favorite in the total, 48.5. And I suppose it's a huge matchup because of the emergence of these two first-round quarterbacks, which along with Joe Burrow and then, you know, like second-year guys like Kyler Murray killing it this year, it's just made the league super exciting to watch. And both these guys are going really well. I mean, two starts, two wins, and I actually would say the jury's still out for me because he hasn't had to do a great deal in those wins. But last week was pretty impressive, winning a shootout in the desert against the Cardinals. The week before, the Dolphins got that win, very lucky, I'd say, with all the defensive and special team scores that they got against the Rams. Well, Herbert's been legit for the Chargers, and he gets in there in a moment of fate, you'd say, I suppose, with the debacle they had with Tyrod Taylor getting the deflated lung from the medical staff. But here he is now, they, you know, can't go back. He's looking really competent. So I actually think the Chargers are the better team, but the problem is I can't play the Chargers here. For one, they've missing their best player in Joey Bosa. We know they lost Derwin James in the preseason. For another thing, I just think they might be dejected. If you saw the way that they lost last week to the Raiders, where they come all the way back, catch a touchdown for the win, and then when you see on you know, closer review, the ball was dropped and they've lost yet another heartbreaking loss. I think they've blown 16-point leads like 4 or 5 different times this season as well. How do you know that they're just going to keep bringing that focus and energy? Because once again, as I kind of spoke about Houston, the Chargers season is lost. You know, if you want to tell me the team's going to lift because they want to back their guy Herbert against Tua, it's possible. But I think Miami is the opposite. They've got all the confidence in the world. They've got a realistic goal that they want to make the playoffs. They're on a winning streak, and the team just has confidence and energy. But the truth is, they're overrated. They're everyone's sweetheart. And I said, they've been very lucky in some of their wins, and I'm actually not convinced of how good Tua is. So I can't play a team that I know is overrated in the marketplace. They're just getting a lot of love, Miami. So I can understand if you're jumping on Miami here. If I had to, even though Alex and I both lean to the Dolphins, I just can't bet on it because I just know long-term, you're just not going to make money taking a team everyone loves against a Chargers team that always disappoints. Best way to play this, I think, is to watch it and hope that Miami gets the win and then look to fade them down the line when there's a better spot for one of their opponents. Another divisional matchup, so NFC South here, interesting one, the Bucks at the Panthers, and the Panthers are 5.5 point underdog. The over-under is 50.5. Got a couple of best bets, taking the Buccaneers, -5.5, it's $1.89, pardon me, on Sportsbet. Again, go scroll down to the other markets and you gain about 3 or 4 cents there, $1.88 on Ladbrokes and Neds as well. And the Bucks team total over 27.5, $1.82 on Unibet. This is one of my favorite theories that works across a number of sports, really is this simple. Take the good team off an embarrassing loss. If you're still confident, they're good. And about a week ago, there was an argument that the Bucks were the best team in the NFC. They were favored by more than a field goal when they played the Saints. I think now the Saints are the favorites to win the NFC after they laid the smackdown on them. And as we know, that game was, I mean, there was a 38 straight points to the Saints to open up that game, and it was game over midway through the second quarter. But don't forget, about a month ago, the Bucks put 38 straight points on Green Bay, and they're, you know, another contender in the NFC. So I think while it's a worrying loss, I'm not going to ignore it. It's like these things happen, and the game very much got away from them, and now it's about how they respond. And what I like about the Bucks coming into this week is they should have a few areas that can definitely improve. You've got Godwin, wide receiver, with the finger injury, so that should be healing up. You got Mike Evans has been struggling with an ankle, and that's, again, that should be trending towards getting him more mobility and being able to affect the game more. And Antonio Brown debuted last week, and I'm not expecting him to come in and be 2017 Antonio Brown, but having him as your third receiver, and he's gaining familiarity, obviously, having joined the squad and having had a run under his belt, that's a great situation for Brady to bounce back after being criticized and having an awful showing last week in primetime. Now, Panthers are playing awesome, playing aggressive, playing to win. But is there a letdown spot here? They lose by 2 points to the Chiefs last week. They fall to 3-6. They're not going to be making the playoffs. It's a feel-good story, and no one expected them to, so there's not like any pressure. But when you lose Christian McCaffrey, who's your best player when he was only back for one game, you lose yet another close game. I don't think it's necessarily going to be hard to get up to play Tom Brady, but I don't think they've got that legit of a defense. I think usually they're winning these games or covering because they've been able to score. And hey, Matt Rhule and Joe Brady, the new OC, they're doing a great job. But don't forget, the sneaky thing about this Bucks team, which I believe makes them a contender, is actually their defense, and especially that linebacker core. So I think they can keep the Panthers in check here, and they can cover, and they'll be doing some scoring themselves, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then another divisional matchup again. So quite a few good games this week in week 10. The Seahawks at the Rams. So that's NFC West. And both teams very much, well, still fighting to win the division. The Rams are a slight favorite, -1.5. The over-under, 54.5. And there also would have been a case to be made in the last few weeks that the Seahawks are the best team in the NFC. The form of Russell Wilson alone, you know, you can never count them out in any game. But I think they're not being seen that way now because they've let in some boatloads of points in recent weeks, and no one has any trust in the Seattle defense. And I actually think the narrative swung too far where everyone is just saying that Russ just has to, you know, put up 30, 40 points in a game to give them any chance. I still kind of have a little bit of faith in a guy like Pete Carroll being a defensive-minded coach. They've tried to invest in their defense. You know, they got Jamal Adams as a Pro Bowl safety acquisition in the offseason, and he's been in and out, and that's actually why I think they've struggled. I think they've had key personnel out along the way. I think they've actually played some good offenses that have been good on the day. Like, they played the Patriots, and Cam was really gelling that night. They played the Cowboys back when they had Dak. They've played Atlanta. Like, even the Bills are a very good offense, and the Bills got 44 points last week, I think. So it's like teams have certainly exacerbated the Seahawks' problems, but they also traded for Carlos Dunlap on the defensive line. I just think they're due for a game where the defense actually steps up a bit. And if there's a hole to be poked in Russ's MVP candidacy, it's the turnovers. I mean, multiple turnovers that cost them the win against the Cardinals, multiple turnovers last week. So if anything, I think they're going to come into this game understanding on the road. They need to control and take care of the ball a little bit more. The Rams are a side that is pretty talented, and as I expect, will probably be able to make the playoffs. But they've just had an awful travel spot. And I think we've spoken about this in previous podcasts, but they've had to fly all over the country. They wanted to just stay out on the East Coast. Wasn't possible with the COVID restrictions. So it's just a lot of time, you know, yeah, moving around, taking long flights. I know that they get to fly, you know, chartered flights and private jets and stuff, but it's disruption, and it's not the ideal, you know, scenario for recovery and preparation. And now they're off a bye. That's got to be so much needed after, you know, after 8 long weeks. And this team, this Rams team, their strength is their defense. They're built around playmakers on the defense. Obviously, Aaron Donald, some will say he's the best player in the whole NFL. Absolute monster, disruptor there, obviously. And they are another team that needs to take care of the ball a bit more. If you look at their last loss and their last match that they played was at the Dolphins. And as I explained, they turned the ball over 4 times and it cost them the game. Cooper Kupp, one of the key wide receivers, is injured anyway in this. May not even play, or if he does, could be limited. So there's a lot of reasons why in a game where everyone's probably going to look at it and think shootout, I think we can be a bit contrarian here, and we could get more of a tight game that is trying to see who blinks first, and either team not trying to, you know, make mistakes, and both backing themselves to kind of be the better side in the fourth quarter. I want to take unders here. So, sorry, often I read the best bets out first, but I'll read them out now for that game. First half total points under 27.5, $1.82 on Sportsbet. And again, you find that when you go to first half markets and scroll down, it exists in two spots, and I think it's like 10 or 12 cents better in the lower market. And let's just take the total under 55.5, $1.83 on Unibet as well. I mean, even if it is pretty high scoring, those are high numbers that we've got, you know, high buffers there, a total in the mid 50s. You can have a lot of offense, and, you know, one or two turnovers or third down stops can save us there, and we can still hit the under. Sunday night football here. We've got a best bet on this as well. The Ravens at the Pats. The Pats are 7-point underdogs. The total is 43.5. And our best bet is the Baltimore Ravens, -6.5 at $1.86 on Sportsbet. And the Ravens did get a quality win at Indy last week. They had a few, they had disruption in their team with COVID and a couple of players that didn't play, and they still went in and won by two touchdowns against the quality Indianapolis. And we saw, if you watched Indy steamrolled Tennessee yesterday, I think winning the second half, what, something like 20-0. Indy's a legit team, especially defensively. So I really, you know, think that's an impressive result to go into Indianapolis and pull that big win out by the Ravens. And yet I still don't know if that you'd call that their statement win of 2020. I feel like they're still yet to fully announce themselves. I just don't hear people talking about them as one of the legit Super Bowl contenders, but I believe they certainly are. And I kind of probably said similar stuff like this 2 weeks ago when I felt confident that they would beat the Steelers. And obviously it turned out to be wrong and we lost a couple of best bets there, but even that game, they completely outstatted the Steelers. I think ran for 250 yards and threw for more passing yards, but they killed themselves with not being able to convert on fourth down and turnovers. And Lamar wasn't good enough, but he is the reigning MVP and he has a chance to prove that and then remind everybody in this primetime game. Whereas the Pats, they have this look to me like they're just hanging on this year. The defense is not the same. Cam been very patchy pretty much ever since he had COVID. They scraped out a win in Monday Night Football, but the Jets kind of handed them that win. If you watched it late, it was quite suspect the way the Jets played. Pats have a lot of players questionable, as they do every week. But, you know, when you've got guys like Stephon Gilmore questionable, there's a chance if he's out, then you like the matchup even more. I'm quite confident the Ravens will be scoring points in this game because the Pats can't stop the run. That's what the Ravens do very well. And the Ravens' defense really hasn't been good this year, but it's like they do face Lamar in practice. That's a mobile quarterback, and Cam is more powerful than Lamar, but basically every other capability he'd have, you'd say, would be inferior to Lamar. So I think the Ravens can stop Cam definitely enough to cover and win this game by a touchdown or more. And that'll wrap it. So got a handful of best bets. I think 9 best bets there for us guys this week. Hopefully get back on track. But as I say, you know, we can never promise any results. We're trying to find the edge where we can. You've got to remember, it's not easy to win betting anytime. And certainly this sport where there's so much scrutiny, and just my experience this year, looking at all the bookies, they're pretty in tune. I'm not getting a lot of variance in lines and halftime lines and team totals to find like outliers where I know it's a great price. But I'm still very confident in what we do find for you guys. And of course, I'll chuck some multis up in the Tripod app and in the Tripod group soon after this video goes live. In the next, I think, 2 days, we're going to have State of Origin Decider preview. So look out for that on the Tripod page. We're planning on doing it Sunday night, but Alex is away this weekend. You may have to wait till Monday. Stay tuned for that. And then, of course, Wide World of Punting, episode 4 is going to be dropping on Thursday, where we'll recap State of Origin Decider, and we'll have plenty of other great segments that you guys choose and that are about the biggest events in world sport. Thanks for watching, guys. Gamble responsibly. Legal.